Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No advice.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. It's merch day! Yeah, I'm excited. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen, looking snazzy.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, who is also looking very snazzy.
What a perfect way to display our new t-shirt designs.
In this audio-only medium.
Great, we've thought this out well. If you want to see what it looks like, of course, go to the YouTube video.
It's great audio content like this, which is why we're invited to Acast's Christmas party, along with top-line celebs like Richard Herring.
Richard Herring.
And Scroobius Pip. Or as you call him?
I call him Scroobulous Pip.
I think you called him Scroobulous Bib.
Yeah, and no, it was definitely Scroobulous Pip, and it was a bit of a miscellaneous, because Laurie immediately took me up on that, started making fun of me. I was like, what a hilarious mispronunciation that only definitely happened that one time ever. But no, I think I've been doing that since 2007, where I first became familiar with his music.
And you got wound up with me at one point because you said you couldn't remember what the name of his song was, that song that everyone knows. And I was like, and it's Sunscreen. And you got really like, no, you effing idiot. That was Baz Luhrmann.
Well, that's a great song.
And I was like, it's like a spoken word thing, though, right? Like, it's borderline the same thing.
Oh, and I guess all white guy spoken word pop songs are the same.
Yeah.
Everybody Wears Sunscreen, that came on random as I was doing the Brighton Marathon, and I just started crying. That was one of the crying moments. It was too much.
It's just too much for you.
Because there's a whole bit where he talks about your knees.
Yeah.
You'll miss them when they're gone. And I was like, God, why am I doing this? It's the culmination of so much hard work. Anyway, we're bad at promoting ourselves. We're meant to be focusing on the merchandise. I know we've done this in the past, but I feel like this one's the one.
It does feel like, you know, we've had two misfires on this. But this, I mean, I said this in my news episode that went up today. Sorry for the other two. But this time we got it right.
Well, oh God, you know, I hope it goes right. But we made an advert. We haven't spoken about this. This was our little secret project we did a couple of weeks ago, although we published a lot of little live streamy bits.
I showed it to my wife last night. She thought it was daft. Very daft. Very silly.
In a good way?
In a good way.
That's good. I couldn't play it to my lady partner because I don't know how Google Drive works sometimes.
Did you not think to just search in our Google Drive merch? Because no. It turns out when you do, it's the top result.
Oh, he would have thought. but no, we made an advert. And that's it's the most expensive thing we've ever done video-wise. We rented a photography studio. We had a photographer there. We had a guy shooting it under Simon's genuine direction, who was fantastic all the way through. Housemate Simon. We had a guy shooting it who shoots stuff for the BBC.
Yeah, so he was not on The Apprentice in terms of he was like part of the camera crew for The Apprentice, but he was one of the people that like the teams hire in The Apprentice to shoot something. Last season, he was telling us about it.
Yeah. But, and he, like, you know, I, our stuff is great. I didn't know we could afford such a noticeably high level more. Yeah. Anyway, I'm very proud of the advert.
It's really
and everyone's work on it. So please do go and watch it. It'll be like the pin thing on our Twitter and Facebook and the Gram.
Yeah.
And also the YouTube trailer. It's its own video as well. It's gone up by now. It's at the end of your news.
Simon did a great job on
yes.
that. Yeah. Really, really good stuff.
And if you liked it and you like us and you're like, oh, I'm already a pledge hammer, or oh, I've got a bit of money around this time of year to splash.
Or you're thinking, I've got a loved one at Christmas that I need to buy a present for.
Yeah, maybe you're a reluctant, what they called?
A reluctant swafter.
A reluctant swafter, and you're thinking, oh, well, I might as well buy my other half this T-shirt.
Because you're hearing this around the house. We know you are, because we've heard from your other halves that you're hearing it, and you're going, oh, God, these dickheads again.
Or you're just going to a wrestling show, and you're like, man, I wish WrestleTalk put out some, you know, easily purchasable merchandise that I could wear to show my support. I've still got this support WrestleTalk thing that I bought 2 years ago.
Yeah, the Frankie Goes to Hollywood
that
one.
That took 100 weeks to come. Sorry about
Tell you
that.
Tell your sex tape.
That's Sting's sex tape. But now you can do that, and yeah, it would help us out. This is our first proper go with a fully fledged team.
Yeah, that's our first proper. The other two were like a good test run.
Mm.
And this one was like, we've learned from all the mistakes.
Yes.
The mistakes were putting it in other people's hands.
Well, this is, I mean, like, to peel back the curtain, the other two times were, you know, YouTube networks who are this sort of predatory business model, they come over to you and you're like, hey, sign with us, give us 30% of all your revenue and we'll make you this much more money, we'll send out all your merch, we'll do all these things for you, and like, and you can just focus on creating, and you're there like, wow, that's a yeah,
it's
okay,
a great
offer, and then none of that happens.
Yeah.
And all those designers in house that they talk about rip off other designs. I'm not sure that's legal to just put out WWE's design with our face on.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. And then, yeah, and it just goes back and forth. Funny story. We ended up owing the merchandise company money.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
We sold like $4,000's worth of shirts in a couple of months. And for whatever weird accounting reason, cost that we were never informed about, we owe them 60 quid. That's when this was all said, I was like, right, how do we just get out of this deal? And they're like, well, you know, let's total it up and we'll see what the outstanding invoice is. Like, what do you mean outstanding invoice? You owe me money, surely. And you know, I keep track of costs.
You're very good at that.
Yeah, I am very good at knowing where all the costs are. These were not told to me at the start of the deal. So anyway, I'm totally over it now. Plus, let's be honest, and I'm sorry for everyone who bought the shirts, they weren't as high quality as the ones we've got now.
These ones are super high quality, and they're made from like ethically sourced? Or
it's, I don't know, but I want to think it's ethically sourced. It's 100% cotton, and it's climate neutral.
That's it,
which
yes.
means that overall, the manufacturing process of these shirts does not impact the environment, which
go.
Is a huge
yeah,
thing.
Huge thing. Huge deal.
So that's why they're a little bit more expensive compared to other wrestling shirts.
Yeah.
But we thought we'd rather take the nice route and be happy with everything than, you know, the guild. Is it Gildian? You know, that when you get a T-shirt and you're like, oh, it says Gildian on the label.
Mm.
It's like the cheapest shirt you can get and people just print designs on.
Yeah. Yeah, not doing anything like
no.
that. No. Right, should we get into the show itself, though? So, we're going to be talking about the current war, but not between AEW and NXT. No, the war between WWE and Dave Meltzer. Here's the show.
WWE versus Dave Meltzer. Now, this has always been a thing. It's such a fascinating story, the Dave Meltzer WWE relationship, because back in the early 90s, Vince McMahon and Meltzer would talk on the phone.
And in the 80s.
They would go out on social occasions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Vince sort of went down the Meltzer just became phased out. And over the years, sometimes Meltzer's like in favor with WWE, and then other times it's completely cut out. We are definitely in not just a cutout phase, but an actively aggressive approach from WWE personnel, potentially a company directive in itself, against Dave Meltzer. And it really started in this month, in November, off the back of the Saudi Arabia stuff.
And you say it's like this has been going on for some time. Like, I think the Pritchard podcast has, part of its design was to discredit Dave Meltzer as much as possible.
But that was in existence before Pritchard rejoined WWE. I think that was just Pritchard going into business for himself.
But it has become more, since he's joined WWE, it has become more of that. And like the whole FDM stuff, I think, was done. I mean, we talked about this on the show before, but like FDM was started as a joke.
That stands for F Dave Meltzer.
Like, it was started, like, Dave and Bruce were friends. Like, they, because again, like, Dave Meltzer is very open about that. He talks to Bruce all the time. And there's photos of them since the podcast came out of them hanging out and being friends. And then at some point it just turned. And now it is a legit thing where he's like, no, F Dave Meltzer. I don't like him.
Mm.
I think it's because Meltzer kept calling him a con man.
Yeah.
Dave did himself no favours.
Yeah, it's so Dave Meltzer, just to sort of, if you're not aware, was that a passing wind?
It's this chair. He's touching this. And it makes fart sounds. Someone brought this up on a podcast that we did where it was like, did someone fart on the microphone? And I was like, pretty sure we didn't. I went back and listened. I was like, that well sounds like a fart, though.
Did you just guff at the name Dave Meltzer, the most respected wrestling sports journalist of all time? So yeah, a lot of people, off the back of this, and now Dave Meltzer's name is so prominent because, you know, a lot of YouTubers like us and podcasts reference his reports. Because really, I would say Wade Keller, Mike Johnson, Dave Meltzer, they're the three.
Yeah.
You know, and Sean Ross Sapp has like really worked his way up there in terms of reliability. But in terms of the old guard, who guys who have been around for decades, it's PW Insider, Pro Wrestling Torch, Wrestling Observer Radio.
Completely.
Or Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And F4W Online is linked in with that. They are the most reliable, long-running wrestling news sites in the world.
Yes, correct.
And it's and of those, I would say Dave Meltzer has the worst track record, just because he reports a lot more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Johnson really doesn't report anything until he's very clear and signed off with multiple sources. And Wade Keller hardly reports anything, I think, because he waits until he's got
I think Wade's whole point is that he tends not to report things unless he's got, like, if he's first, then he'll do it. But if he's second, then he just tends to take a step back, or like, well, I don't need to approach that story because someone else has already got it. But he was the guy that reported that Dean Ambrose was going.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You know, and that obviously turned out to be a big, and was like, you know, one of the biggest stories of this year. And that was Keller. And that was the first time we've had Keller's name come up in a long old time.
But when it comes up, you're like, well, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
Really, because he's got such a high track record. With Meltzer, I think because he does 3 to 4 podcasts a week, he's on live shows, he's the most, like, he has the most visibility on him. He writes 20,000 words a week for his newsletter.
Yeah, he was one of the few people who was working on Thanksgiving to get the newsletter up this week.
And when you put out that much content, I think, and when other people sort of report what he has speculated, as Dave Meltzer has reported, when he has never done that such thing,
that's a big problem.
I think that muddies a lot of people's view of Meltzer. But like, for my money, Dave Meltzer is, you know, one of the most trustworthy. And really, if you listen to him on a daily basis like I do, like, honourable.
Yeah.
He has a code of honour where even if he's close friends with someone, they do something wrong in terms of wrestling booking on the creative side, or, you know, sorry, like, on a more business moral standpoint, he'll call them out for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Bruce Pritchard, they sort of, you call him a con man there. That's,
yeah.
And he's lost relationships through that honorability.
And the same with Eric Bischoff.
Mm.
Him and Bischoff used to call and speak all the time. But Bischoff's podcast, again, feels like it is, I need to discredit Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez because they've spent the last 20 years saying Bischoff killed WCW. not effectively using those words, because they have always said it was the Time Warner merger that killed WCW.
Yeah.
But it was already, it was a dying brand. And I think Bischoff has always taken that very personally. So he was always trying to be like, no, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know anything. They weren't there. They don't know any of the inside track. And that's why, you know, Mabel was the third man, is like Bischoff's big smoking gun to be like, hey, see, he doesn't know anything. And that has been just used as ammunition against Meltzer, even though Meltzer reported it was Hogan. A, the week before, B, in that same newsletter, and C, the week after. But there was a conversation about Mabel being the third man for the NWO, and Kevin Nash has corroborated that.
Yeah.
But Bischoff has said, nope, third man, that's complete nonsense. Dave Meltzer knows nothing. And because Conrad didn't do either side of it, that's the narrative. Dave Meltzer reported that it was Mabel, not Hogan.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people trying to discredit Meltzer, when really, if you dive into it, it's not clear cut in that way, and usually it goes in Meltzer's favour if you read what he's written.
Yeah, but I also think that, like, we don't want this to sound too one-sided.
No.
I think Meltzer can be very easily led at times. Like, when you go back and read some of those observers, it is clear that one of his sources is Paul Heyman, because a lot of stuff is very favorable to ECW and WWF poaching talent from ECW and stuff, even though Paul was working with Vince, but Paul was leading the narrative at times. So although the reporting is correct, the wording of it might have been more in favor of Heyman than it was of Vince.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so this is really, like you said, it has been bubbling for a while with Bischoff and Pritchard. But really at the start of this month, off the back of Saudi Arabia, is when you've seen WWE talent actively call out Meltzer on social media. The first instance was for the report that Seth Rollins had done a rah-rah speech, and it went down really, like, a bit lamely, a bit maybe not cool in the locker room on that first Raw after the Saudi Arabian travel incident, where a lot of the talent were upset that Meltzer reported on. But Meltzer was never making the sort of, was it Hugo Savanovich?
Hugo Savanovich name.
Yeah, where it was like, it was that they owed him $500 million and stuff. Like, that was the hyperbole story. Meltzer was actually quite restrained, I would say, in his reporting. But Seth reported, Seth tweeted, Dave Meltzer, you're at best a purveyor of misinformation, or at worst an outright vindictive liar. I hope it's the former, #rah-rah, referencing that report.
Yeah. So I've given my conspiracy theory on this, which was Meltzer was reporting texts that he was getting from friends of his. And we know that some of those wrestlers that were there are friends of his.
You've got to think Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
That's the two names I was thinking. Yeah. And it's not like they themselves weren't saying things online about how we're stuck here and we're scared. And their family was saying, yeah, they're stuck there and we're scared. You know, Carl Anderson's wife was like, never again. Like, you're never going back. And like, I've got to go back. I've got to buy us a third pool. And, you know, they were making all these sorts of like jokes about stuff. But they were, it was a serious situation. And Meltzer was just reporting what he was, you know, getting texts about. And because WWE wanted that story to go away, I think they fed him that Seth Rollins' rah-rah speech story. Meltzer didn't corroborate with anyone else, reported it, so they could instantly go, ha, gotcha. You were wrong on that one. You're a vindictive liar or a purveyor of misinformation, which sounds like it was written by a WWE writer.
Yes.
And Dave, you know, himself said, I'm sorry, I misreported on this.
Mm.
A source told me that was what the case was. And it turns out it wasn't. I've looked into it more. That's not it. That meeting didn't take place.
Yeah. So Seth followed that up with, no, Dave, my problem is that you're spreading complete lies. I gave no speech. I said nothing before, during or after the meeting. So either you or your source is full of it. Either way, it's a bold-faced lie. And I kindly ask you to quit pushing it. And Meltzer said, very sorry on this. I don't want to spread misinformation. So he retracted that.
Yeah.
And, you know, put a statement up on F4W online retracting it and everything. So it's, even if Meltzer wasn't fed that, maybe Seth did give a version of it, or maybe one of the talent just wanted to bury Seth because they were annoyed.
Yeah.
And Meltzer still reported it. The fact that a WWE talent, as high profile as Seth Rollins, called out Dave Meltzer, which is so unlike WWE historically, to sort of even name drop or reference people that don't fit their narrative. It seems to me like they're deflecting the story of this Saudi Arabia controversy to make it more about Meltzer.
That's exactly it. Because as soon as you discredit that one story, you can discredit everything else.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean, and it is pure tinfoil hat speculation. But that is that I do believe that's the case. And I would not put it past this company to have done that.
And I, you know, just like maybe like a thing backstage. Oh, if you see any Dave Meltzer tweets or anything and you think you can have a go at him, please do.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. Maybe it's as informal as that. You know, if you can, have a pop at Meltzer on Twitter. And then because it's a corporate climate or a workplace climate where everyone wants to get favor, political favor with management, of course they're going to be doing the little digs.
Perhaps I'd also like to think that it was a directive from someone, because I'd hate to think that Seth Rollins in his own mind wrote the purveyor of misinformation and thought, that's a thing I need to say. That's a tweet.
It's weird because the week before that was when it was Tony Khan who called John Moxley a purveyor of violence.
Yeah.
And we all said that's a stupid way
to
say something.
Such a stupid way to phrase something.
It feels very fabricated. And, you know, that was our thoughts. We've said those thoughts before on that situation. Interestingly, what's come out since is kind of more stuff that could support that idea. And the most recent one is Corey Graves. He tweeted in reference to Mauro Ranallo over the weekend, implying that Ranallo talks so much that you can't hear Nigel McGuinness or Beth Phoenix on commentary either.
Yes, which Nigel took very badly. Mauro Ranallo took very, very poorly. He's got a history with this company of, you know, and he's very on the record with his sort of mental health and his bipolar and things like that. He's got fantastic documentaries out and everything about it. He took these comments very badly. The latest report on that is that he's in bad shape, and it's sort of like a day-by-day thing that he didn't come to Survivor Series, and they were expecting him to be there at NXT. It's what Meltzer said on Monday. So he is expected to be there, but if he's not, that's when it becomes a story. And he wasn't there on Wednesday. Instead, Tom Phillips filled in for him.
Now, to argue Corey's case, he said that he tweeted that because he could work it into the Survivor Series commentary as sort of a, you know, because you get the beef between brands. NXT, Mauro, Corey.
I think that came after the fact.
Look, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely right. Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, so that's like, I can totally see that working, especially with Corey's previous of that weird angle he worked with Booker T that did nothing.
which again, I think was designed to work Meltzer. And it didn't. It just worked us.
Yeah.
But he could still go, ha ha, I worked you all. So to what end?
Yeah, so I can totally see that Corey's the guy backstage who's like, ha ha, let's work the fans. But then kind of accidentally... misses the point. It doesn't work. And unfortunately has some quite harmful consequences to someone who's in a very sensitive position. Now, after that, I would... If I had caused that level, I would apologize and take down the tweet and just been like, you know, backstage, more, I'm so sorry, man, I didn't mean that. And that might have happened backstage, but the tweet still remains. And rather than kind of, you know, take the nicer route around it, he also has just started going over after Dave Meltzer, who is maybe has been talking to Mauro, definitely has been talking to
Frank
mutual
Shamrock,
friends like Frank Shamrock.
Who is Mauro's manager.
Yeah.
And Meltzer's got a long-standing relationship with Frank Shamrock. Because Frank Shamrock, and this is why the Corey tweet was so stupid, because A, your tweet still remains, and B, Frank Shamrock is backing up this story, who's best friends with like Mauro Ranallo. So it's not like it's just Dave Meltzer being like, I have made this story up. Frank Shamrock's there going like, no, this is the case.
So Graves tweeted, you know, the day after, Dave Meltzer, you uninformed, false narrative pushing liar. My phone works. You're a journalist, right? You can find my number. Implying that if you really wanted to do a good job on this story, you would contact me as well to get a statement from my side. And that's true.
It's true.
Like if Meltzer could have reached out to Graves, it sounds like he hasn't.
No.
And really, you know.
But I don't think Meltzer often does.
No, yeah, and that is probably a downfall.
Like, it totally is.
You know, some of Sean Ross Sapp's best work, who does Fightful, he gets like, you know, he contacts everyone.
Yeah.
If like someone's name is brought up in a story, he contacts them for comment and he publishes the comment. So you get a really three-dimensional view of the story.
He's really, really good.
As opposed to just one source driving the narrative.
Got to give a shout-out to Kristen Ashley of Fightful, because she was the one who did that story, which kind of, you know, broke that news that the WWE dressmaker that tweeted that was going to be a new character debuting on SmackDown for, like, and there is a new character debuting at 5-5 Funhouse, but she was like, I've made the dress for it and it's going to be for Liv Morgan or something along those lines. And Kristen actually kind of broke it, like, she found out that it was a catfish thing. And her Twitter thread about that, and you know, all the work that she did to break that story down is absolutely brilliant. It's really, really good journalistic work, which is not really seen in the wrestling world. Mm. It's where I think Sean Ross Sapp's kind of changed the game a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely sort of the leader of the new wrestling media.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you had that Graves tweet and you know, Meltzer and loads of people have jumped in on this. Brian Alvarez saying, you know, what are you talking about, Graves? Like, this is serious. Why are you pushing the narrative that we're lying? Quite obviously not. And, you know, so there is a guy in this who's feeling like crap right now, and it's pretty serious, it sounds like. So, yeah. You know, whatever.
And Corey Graves then apologized on after the Bell End podcast, being, you know, saying that he was sorry, he didn't mean to hurt anyone's feelings, which then just really, like, completely discredits anything he was trying to do to attack Meltzer.
Yeah, and just because we'll wrap this up shortly, and then last week Dave Meltzer said a comment on one of his podcasts that Mean Gene Okerlund is one of the best backstage interviewers of all time. No argument there.
No argument there.
We often say that the WWE backstage interviewers are unfortunately produced to be very robotic and lacking of character.
It's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's the way they're produced. Like, you're not, the directive is, do not have a personality because the wrestler wants to get, we want to get the wrestler over, not you.
And Oakland would, like, get over the wrestler more with his own personality.
Exactly.
And Meltzer said, it's a real shame that someone like that couldn't do that job now. Speaking specifically of Mean Gene, you know, because he's what, 70, 75?
Yep.
Even though he's probably still one of the best people for that role, because he's not young and cute. And that's Meltzer critiquing WWE for choosing young, cute women, mostly, to do their backstage roles. I think that's very clear over the course of the last decade.
Yeah.
And then someone tweeted Charlie Caruso that. What do you think? You know, and some sites picked it up as, you know, called it, sort of spun it, saying Meltzer said that Charlie Caruso has only got a job because she's young and cute.
Yeah,
which is a reading of that of what he said. But I think to say that would be disingenuous. That was not the intent. And Charlie Caruso tweeted in response to that story, "I feel very bad for Marianne." Marianne is Dave Meltzer's wife. I listen to the Wrestling Observer Radio 4 or 5 times a week. Those are hour and a half long episodes for years. I don't know the name of his wife. I don't know the name of his kids.
No, me neither.
I don't know many people who do know, who could just say that off the top of their head.
Yeah.
So either Charlie Caruso has Googled Dave Meltzer's wife's name to tweet that out, or someone's helped her out with a tweet there.
Purveyor of misinformation.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we were going to talk a bit about Ryan Satin.
And his dreadful interview that he had with Wrestling Inc.
It's just like, just to wrap this up, on the flip side of this, of WWE trying to control the wrestling media, which is something historically that they can't do because it's in the very nature. Like, imagine if we were a WWE-endorsed show.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. Or if we're an AEW-endorsed show, it would just completely destroy our credibility, the little that remains. and Ryan Satin, Pro Wrestling Sheet, I would have put him in the Fightful bracket before, but now he appears on WWE backstage. Sure, Fox pays the paychecks, but he, you know, he's done this interview with Wrestling Inc.'s podcast where he said that, what they asked, well, why haven't you approached the Jordan Miles controversy, the Saudi Arabia controversy, the Mauro Ranallo controversy in any of the episodes? And he said, I'm not the producer of the show, so I don't make those decisions. I'm very low on the totem pole in terms of what's going to be discussed. I don't think they want me there for opinions as they want me there to break news.
I like this bit when it said, when it comes to negative stories, I believe there will be times when I have to talk about negative things. It's just we're in
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Week two, and nothing super negative has happened.
You have a mental health case.
Yeah, and
Jordan literally Mark, 2 days previously.
Racism accusations against a company. Not persons, a company as a whole. And nothing super negative has happened while backstage has been in. Absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
And then I point this out in my news. He contradicts himself in the exact same interview where he says, I thought we should have done the Saudi Arabia thing. I suggested we did the Saudi Arabia thing, but they said, no, the running order's already done. So either nothing serious has happened that you haven't had to talk about, or something super serious has happened that you did want to talk about.
Yeah. So I think we can trust Ryan Satin and Pro Wrestling Sheet now for five-year contracts being signed because WWE will give it to him to break, and that's real. But anything remotely critical of the company, I think, will disappear from that
completely
that site very quickly. But yeah, it's just an example of how WWE are trying to sort of influence the rest of media. They always have done. It's just it's come to the fore this November because they've had a ton of bad stuff and then also tried to put on their own show that is wrestling media that's all just a puff piece, really.
Yeah. Because we went slightly long on that topic, we knew we were going to talk about it for that long.
There's a lot to dive into.
And we've got a lot of stuff that we need to record today. We've got some Patreon podcasts to do. We've got some stuff on ScreenStalker to do. So we're going to skip crap gimmicks for this week. We're going to go straight into the mailbag. If you want to send a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave a comment in the community tab. Do not email me. I will just lose it. This comes in from Lorenzo Haynes, who said, my question is for Luke. Please tell me why you did research on Wrestle League when you were announced the winner. Why did you care who did the punishment? What made you look into it so much? I didn't look into it. I was so someone left a comment on one of our Patreon posts that said the bet was wrong. Like, you thought the bet was about this. And then someone emailed me, Happenable. I said this in the thing. Happenable emailed me to be like, here's what happened. Here's the video where you made the bet. Here's the video where you said the bet was wrong. And this is what, and you know, here's where things have gone a bit nipples north. And I was like, oh, because really what happened was we made the bet. Forgot what the bet was. And then when the Lacey Evans Natalia match got announced for whichever show it was, Extreme Rules or something,
yeah,
someone tweeted me and said, you won the bet. And I was like, oh, so it was about that. Okay, well, that makes sense then. So that's when I said, and that's when I texted the WhatsApp group going like, haha, I won the bet.
We've got goldfish brains. We don't remember, unless it's like backstage wrestling news, I don't remember anything.
Yeah. So then the wrestle, so our WrestleTalk chat was just like, yeah, that was the bet.
Mm.
And that just became, and until happened, I said, like, no, that wasn't the bet at all. And I was like, oh, that was the bet.
If we've learned anything, folks, it's that we will not do bets like that, because Laurie was also very annoyed that he would have lost because of something he had no control over.
Indeed. This comes in from Chris Thorne. Again, it's the question of like, who's the right person to take the belt off of Jericho? I feel like we get this every week, but
yeah,
I think it's too early to be having these sorts of discussions.
I think it's Omega.
Personally. Yeah, I think it's Omega as well. Jobber JJ said, hello, WrestleTalk boys in the Swaff Nation. As the decade closes out, my question to you is, what is your high point as a wrestling fan and low point of the decade? Have yourself a what wonderful day.
Well, decade's a long time.
It is.
And really, it's in the same bit.
It's Pipe Bomb and...
It's Pipe Bomb and Nexus.
Yeah.
Nexus being the low point when they were sort of buried, and Pipe Bomb bring me back.
So yeah, I'd say Nexus was a low point, but I'd actually say that Pipe Bomb, Money in the Bank are like super high points. And then, you know, a month later, you came crashing down, because that's when you realized, oh, this isn't going to be the story we all thought it was. Mm. Because it was like when CM Punk crashed Comic-Con to like cut that promo, and you're like, oh my God, this is going to run for months. This might be a year long thing. This is going to be the greatest story ever. And then he was just back like 2 weeks later and was just like, now we're having a champion versus champion match, and then I'm not going to be champion. Yeah.
It wasn't as good, but I was won back by that point. I mean, the only other thing, and I really think it is genuinely this bad, is that Hell in a Cell ending with Seth Rollins and The Fiend. Mm. I genuinely think that is a decade low. And that's not just me, because it's so fresh in our memories, being just 2 months ago. I think it's genuinely that bad.
Yeah. Josh Hood says, given WrestleTalk's connection to the great man himself, can it be an ongoing project to have Keith Lee wrestle a show in Keighley, West Yorkshire? I imagine upon his arrival, he will automatically be made mayor and everyone can bask in his glory. Hashtag Keith Lee in Keighley.
I like that. I don't think it's something we should put our promotional power behind. I think there's better things we can do. But I do like the pun play.
Yeah.
I mean, if he shows up anywhere, Keith Lee, and says, I'm your mayor now, I think he is the mayor.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing you can do to stop him. He'll shoulder barge you.
John T. Evans. Hey, guys. Love all the work you do. Sorry about the paragraph. When y'all review AEW, there's a fair bit of fair criticism on how some of the matches don't have story behind them, particularly with the women's division. Back when Sasha Banks was potentially leaving WWE, y'all spoke about how AEW didn't have any women with her drawing power. I think they're doing this to get the audience familiar with lesser-known talent. My question is, if that is their plan, how long will it be before we start seeing quality storylines across the show? So my answer to that would be is that you can get people engaged with lesser known talents by giving them storylines.
Yeah, totally. That's what the Attitude Era did for the mid-card. They gave everyone stories, and that's why people like Val Venus were so over.
Yeah, and D'Lo Brown. It's why people remember them, because they were given stuff to do. The women in AEW at the moment just have matches, and then that's it.
Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
He was a huge mid-carder because he had a string of really good stories.
Not every story is going to work.
Mm.
And not everyone's going to get over from those stories. Steve Blackman didn't get over from the story that they gave him. But they tried. You always
got over with me.
Craig Thomas. Hi, guys. Just wondered what you've got planned for the channel over Christmas.
A lot of videos.
Oh, yeah. A lot of videos.
Yeah, we've got like a lot of sort of listy things. Got the Christmas special as always.
Yeah, the usual like end of year type lists and stuff. We did put out on Twitter about like people to suggest their matches of the decade. I thought we might do something along those lines and get some user feedback. We've also got the our 2020 predictions. Lots of stuff going up. Lots of stuff going up. That guy who wants to support. I think we can all agree that Jericho shouldn't lose the title anytime soon and keep being on Le Champion. And when he does lose it, it should be on a pay-per-view that'll mean something. So it means he'll probably be champion at least 2020. And since Jericho will appear at Wrestle Kingdom versus Tanahashi, do you think there's a chance he will be there with the AEW belt? Thank you and have a great conversation. Always look on the bright side of life.
Sing it, Luke, it says.
Always look on the bright side of life.
But the Jericho, it's going to be an awkward one because that New Japan AEW relationship, I thought would thaw by now, but really seems to have gotten more vitriolic, if anything. So I don't think he will appear with the AEW title. And I don't know how he's not going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Tanahashi. Tanahashi hasn't got any championship belts. I think Jericho wins. but maybe the AEW just isn't mentioned, which would be such an elephant in the room.
Totally. Abnahav says, hey guys, not going to name everyone, there's too many of you. Do you think AEW has dropped the ball with the win-loss record? At Full Gear, it was dropped for the women's division, and after this week, seeing Scorpio Sky getting an opportunity before Pac and the next challenger being teased as Mox, do you think that AEW is going away from the win-loss record? Having storylines makes sense, but then the loss record doesn't. Have a great day.
No, the women's one doesn't make sense. You're right. They dropped the ball there. But the Sky stuff, they really explained and have actually made part of the story with the wins-loss record. The Pack really should be next in line, but Jericho agreed to a match with Sky because Sky pinned the champion in a tag match and also goaded him into accepting one. So, no.
No,
I don't think they are. In fact, I really like... When it first started, I was a little bit concerned about, are we just going to see a load of people with undefeated streaks? And then Pac was sort of the only remaining one, and he's lost twice now. And I thought, that's almost taken the pressure off.
Yeah.
Now everyone's got a few losses. We know they're going to reset at the end of the season. I think they're doing it smartly.
Flev, Doran, hello to everyone from WrestleTalk. I've missed a few NXT rambles, sorry. So my question is, and I don't know if this has been brought up before, but I was thinking of the Undisputed Era and their 2019 prophecy to hold all the gold by the end of the year. Does that also include the new NXT Cruiserweight Championship? Because technically, an NXT-branded championship. I feel like they are just omitting this fact because it wasn't in their original plans for 205 to get absorbed into NXT. Do you think they'll do something about that? I'd say probably no.
Well, yeah, an NXT UK title as well, which occasionally pops over, and the NXT UK tag titles. I think, you know, they're the Triple H verse, but they're not NXT so specific.
Yeah.
Plus, did they say we're going to have all the gold in NXT, or did they say all of us will have gold?
Well, the Undisputed Era will be draped in gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they are.
Yeah.
Each one of them has a title.
Skeletor says, I won't do the whole voice, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, Dave, and that dastardly heel, Randy, Andy Datson. I'm so proud to finally be a Pledgehammer.
Thank you. I just wanted
to ask a question and see what your opinions are on this. I've been watching WWE for 20 years. I was raised on the Attitude Era, and my dad was a massive fan, which obviously got me intrigued. It had its moments where I've wanted to stop watching, but I just can't do it. NXT came along, and that became my favorite show from WWE without a doubt. Now we're in an era where we have two incredible shows in AEW and NXT. Now the important part. Due to a financial issues, I have never, ever been to a live wrestling event. Now that has finally changed, I want my first one to be a big deal.
Whoa.
Do I wait for AEW to come to the UK and go to their show, or do I go to a live TV taping of Raw or SmackDown? Much love to you boys, and Val, she's the best. And also thank you for live streaming your reactions to WWE last weekend. Had a lovely time with the boys, Skeletor.
Lovely time with the boys. Nice to see you, Skeletor. You've popped up a lot in the last week or so, so
yeah.
It's nice to have you as a patron as well. I mean, controversially, I'm going to say none of the above. I'm going to say go to an indie show.
Yeah.
Go to a Progress, go to a Rev Pro, go to a WrestleGate. Go to an NGW. I don't know where you're based, but you'll find the best. But North Wrestling, I think, is really big.
Yeah, it's got big up North.
Yeah. The Riptide down in Brighton. There are so many still, and it's amazing considering what WWE have done to the independent scene and just scooping up all the talent. Britain still has a great... If you're in Ireland, OTT.
Yeah.
Britain OTT still has a fantastic independent wrestling scene. And you're... I don't think AEW or NXT will come over here for a while. Go to a big December show. A lot of those promotions will have big December shows. You should go to one of those.
But if you did want to pick between those two, I would probably say the AEW one, because that's likely going to be a pay-per-view. If that's to be believed. And if it is a pay-per-view, then 100% I'd say go to a pay-per-view. Raw and SmackDown tapings, the last Raw taping we went to, I was bored to tears. Not just because it wasn't a particularly good show. It's a long, tedious experience because you've also got to wait during the ad breaks, and it's just not fun.
It's WWE produced their TV for TV, not for the live audience.
Yeah.
I would say that's something Dynamite does very well. They do it for both. So go to a house show if you.
That's what I was going to say. If you do want to go to a WWE show, go to a house show because they're much better. Mohammed, hi everyone. How are y'all doing at Wrestle League this weekend? Smiley emoji. Got everything right apart from Garza and Strong somehow. Question.
Oh, well done.
Who should Brock's next opponent be and when? I'd love to see Owens versus Brock at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's a really good shout, actually. He kind of is the top babyface on Raw now as well.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Owens versus.
That's a real clash. Lesnar. Which I think is really interesting.
I haven't even thought of that as a match.
That's the thing. I think because like Lesnar all year long has just been Rollins.
Yeah.
And Raw has been pushed all around Rollins throughout 2019. It is just like, man, who is another contender for Lesnar? But yeah, Owens is such a good shout.
Great shout.
And Rusev after last week, because I think that really massively got him over.
That's not a bad shout either, yeah. And the Royal Rumble is the perfect time you can do that.
Completely.
I mean, Kevin Owens, surely you save that match for Fastlane. That's where Owens has the big matches.
And lastly, Lorenzo says, to Luke, can you tell me step by step how you make your tea? Personally.
Loads of milk.
Don't get me started.
It with milk.
No. Personally, I just put some boiling water in a cup with a tea bag and sugar. I've been watching a UK series called The Circle, and they were talking about never put the milk in first, and I'm so confused. We'll do the second question.
Yeah.
So, tea bag in, boiling water, squeeze out that tea bag, just push that tea
bag. You shouldn't
do that. You get all the tea out. No,
you brew over time. You know how long it makes me to make tea? I just leave it in there for 5 minutes. That's the optimum time. If you squeeze it, you get the bitterness out.
That's what I
like. And it becomes too bitter.
But that's how I make all your teas as well. You squeeze out that bag, squeeze it out, get all that tea flavor. Or, as you said, if you've got time, let it brew, but let it brew and brew and brew. Get all that good teeness out of it. And then just a tiny dash of milk. Tiniest of tiny dashes.
What kind of milk?
Soy milk is delightful in a cup of tea. Oat milk is very, very good in a cup of tea.
Oat milk's the one.
Yeah. And if you are a dairy drinker, semi-skimmed, I think is probably the optimal.
You reckon?
I don't like whole milk.
No?
Oh, blue milk? Oh, God, no. I don't like dairy, for starters.
Okay.
But like cream is, like full cream is gross.
Oh, wow.
I can't eat butter. Butter's disgusting.
Oh my God, I didn't know this.
But that's just a personal thing. So,
cancel all that butter I got you for Christmas.
Tiniest dash of milk, little stir, and away you go. No sugar. I'm not a child. And lastly, to Ollie, do you prefer your wrestling as realistic as possible, or are you more lenient?
Totally more lenient, I would say. I like all the styles of wrestling. There's no styles of... are there any styles of wrestling that you don't like? I mean, like I like hardcore... I like lucha. I love comedy.
Yeah.
I love strong style. I love sports entertainment. You know, Ronda Rousey, Triple H, Stephanie Kurt, Miz Dad Miz,
and
Shane.
Yeah.
Love all those matches.
Yeah. You asked me then, is there any style of wrestling you don't like? And I was thinking, like, there must be one. And I was thinking back to it, like thinking of all the shows that I've been to and there's various styles. There's never been a match style that started and be like, oh, I'm not going to be into this.
Mat-based wrestling, you know, MMA-style wrestling, submission-based wrestling. Love it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Variety, I think, is the spice.
Absolutely.
You can't have a card of submission stuff unless you're super, super into that. I'd get bored. I once tried to watch 6 Zack Sabre Jr. matches in a row.
We did that, didn't we? Yeah. We did the New Japan Cup.
And I was like, oh, I can't.
Okay.
I love Zack Sabre Jr., but this isn't working.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing, unless you're super into it, I think.
Yes.
That's not to say I love any kind of those wrestlings. I love that wrestling when it's done right, because any of those styles can be awful if you do it wrong.
There is one match type that I specifically just hate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Blindfold match.
Isn't there a famous Jake the Snake Rick Rude one that is actually really good?
That might be a rare example. I'd also say
the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah, and there's also was the Jamie Noble Nidia one from No Way Out 2004. But for me, that's not a blindfold match. That's a comedy match.
Yes, yeah.
That just happens to have blindfolds on it. But I'm thinking like Chris Harris versus James Storm in TNA in a blindfold match. I just think it is a proper like 80s wrestling trope. So it's likely going to be an AEW.
I was going to say, yeah, that'll be Cody's next big pay-per-view match. MJF versus Cody.
My dad loved him. But I've very rarely seen a blindfold match where I'm like, oh, that was well worth putting on pay-per-view.
I would argue that's more of a gimmick as opposed to a style.
Oh, yeah. If I was to get it, absolutely. To nitpick my state there, and you're absolutely right to do so, it is a gimmick, but I hate that gimmick.
A stipulation, yeah.
Got this email here from Josephine. Thought I'd read this one out to you because it might be a good one for you.
Okay, that's great. I'm just going to do this every minute, I think. WrestleTalkMerch.com. Yep. I don't think we said the URL at all at the start of the show.
No, it's in the show notes, though.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope people would click on that.
Because one thing I've learned from YouTube comments from the last few years is that, like, don't push things too much because it just puts people off.
Mm-hmm.
So you doing it twice in this show is already made me on edge to be like, they're just not going to buy any merch at all because you're over-promoting it.
I don't know how the Young Bucks get away with it. They've made it part of their gimmick. Lol, 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 merch. Lol, lol, lol.
Lol, 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 buy another t-shirt.
Yeah, maybe that could be, maybe that's a t-shirt design.
Yeah.
Lol, 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 merch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
WrestleTalkMerch, that is, .com.
This comes in from Josephine, who says, hi there, everyone at WrestleTalk. Just writing in to let you know I support WrestleTalk.
Oh, thank you.
It really made me upset
buy
when
a
I saw...
t-shirt.
It really made me upset when I saw Ollie's message to the internet to ask what was wrong with WrestleTalk, and made me even more upset when I heard that he had to revert back to the 10-minute videos because it wasn't working out for him as a business owner. I was loving seeing the channel grow and change into this new era of crazy wrestling content. Knowing that Ollie felt so bad about it and felt like he had to change everything just sucked. Just wanted to let you know, I love being part of your fan base, the SWAF Nation, and I've always felt comfortable writing on your Patreon community tab or about something, or being part of the chat rooms, either in the live streams or on the Discord. Your inclusive nature and positive outlooks on life, where all different kinds of opinions can be shared, really spreads out to, I'd say, most of your viewers. You guys are always spreading the positivity and making people look better, and that's why it sucked so much to see Ollie not feeling good. In fact, the only social media I use anything to do with WrestleTalk, because the internet can be a negative place and I don't want to be part of that. For 10 years, I struggled with drug addiction and bad psychosis that stemmed from traumatic experiences as a teenager. I know how bad it is for a person to feel... Sorry, I've butchered that sentence.
It's a serious part of the email. Don't worry.
I'm aware.
WrestleTalk.merch.
The worst thing about this is I can edit this. Like, yeah. I could have just stopped and be like, compose myself, and go back to the very serious point, and it makes me sound like I'm a competent broadcaster. Instead, we just keep all of this guff in because I'm too lazy to edit it out.
It's part of the charm.
It's part of the charm. I really know how bad it is for a person to possibly feel. Now that I can eat, sleep, and feel, and live and feel normal for a day and night, and what it is I'm truly grateful for, my peace is all I have. Anything else is just a bonus. I have no time for negativity, hate, or petty behavior of any kind. I work too hard for something most people don't even know they have, to let anything not worth it in my life. I love living a life that has WrestleTalk in it. Wrestling and video games are the only things I have as a treat to myself. I wish I could commit more to chatting and super chatting in the live streams, but I'm a single mother and in a different time zone, so I can't really stay up as late as I have to homeschool my son. Keep up the good work. You'll always have a supporter in me. That's from Josephine.
Oh, thank you so much, Josephine. That's really nice. And it, you know, makes me feel like a piece of crap because you had real issues,
yeah.
It sounds. But those are, yeah, well, congratulations for coming through all of that. Mine's only some people said they didn't like the community tab posts. Thank you. That's very much appreciated. A lot of lady mails coming through.
I know. It's lady mails.
Lady mails.
This one, an interesting one that came in from Michael, the opposite of the lady mail,
mm.
Who said, hello, WrestleTalk gentlemen and the wonderful SoCal Val. I'm writing this email as I'm catching up on WrestleTalk news videos, and it leads me to my request. Do you think the wrestling news will ever come out in podcast form?
Ooh. So it's such a visual thing. I don't know if people would like that. I think we once spoke about it, didn't we?
Yes.
But I'm not sure it would. It's, you know, it's so shouty. If people want it, I would
certainly do it as a separate podcast feed. Like, I wouldn't put it into this podcast
feed because
we've done, like, when we've done sort of like breaking news bits and pieces, we have released those as sort of bonus podcast episodes, but they never do very well.
And they're more chatty anyway. That's me and you talking in this format. It's not like a script, because those WrestleTalk news videos are scripted,
edited. Yeah,
I think it works really well as a visual medium, and there's lots of visual gags in there as well. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, this comes in from Andy, who just wants to let me know something that was, you know, I brought up on a previous podcast that I was very, very scared of. He says, "Hi, Luke and Ollie. In relation to your joint fear from the Saturday ramble..." It's not a ramble anymore, mate. "I had my first helicopter..."
People know, though. We know what it really is.
"I had my first helicopter experience this year when I was out in Las Vegas for our first wedding anniversary. I'm pleased to announce we're still alive." "I wasn't really fazed by what could have gone wrong
for their wedding.
For the wedding anniversary.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
"I wasn't really fazed by what could have gone wrong from a helicopter perspective. To me, it was just something we had to do while we were on that side of the world. Hashtag YOLO and all that. My wife, however, had all of the fear. What if the helicopter cuts out midair? What if the pilot is a rookie? Helicopters always go down so easily in movies. What if we're too heavy?" Which I was. I wasn't allowed to sit in the front seat. "Anyway, I convinced her it would all be fine. This was a helicopter tour of the Grand Canyon where we flew over the edge and landed inside the canyon where we had some time to explore and also enjoyed a little bit of the bubbly." Courtesy, why do you like say none of the consonants?
I find it funny. I'm not often saying the right words either.
Courtesy of the tour provider. "A safe, breathtaking, probably once-in-a-lifetime experience which we will never forget. I hope my pics can convince you guys to be hashtag brave boys and take a helicopter ride one day. I also had my Project Rock Under Armour t-shirt on that day, like a true mark. Keep smashing it, you guys. Happy Pledge Hammer here." That's from Andy Mack.
Thank you, Andy Mack.
He does send this picture of them by the helicopter.
Whoa.
Look how close they are to those rotors, though.
Yeah, they're off. The rotors are off.
Still sharp, though, lad. Like a knife on its own.
At least 4 feet above them.
I don't know, mate.
Like the t-shirt you got on there, Andy. But, you know, maybe there's another t-shirt.
For God's sake. You got any plans for the weekend?
One of my... No. We have nothing. Me and my lady partner, it was like Wednesday. We're like, "God, what are we doing this weekend?" And I said, "I haven't got anything planned, actually." And she went, "I have an idea."
Ooh.
So we're just going to chill there. Netflix out. Maybe what I think it will take the entire it will take the entire weekend to watch The Irishman. So we might start on that Friday evening, be done by Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
What about you? We didn't even talk about Jay and Silent Bob. We went to Jay and Silent Bob reboot with Kevin Smith at the Prince Charles Cinema last night.
We didn't go with Kevin Smith.
Well, you know, we were.
We went
close
to watch
him.
The film, and Kevin Smith was there to do a Q&A session. He introduced the film as well, and we watched it. He was in the same room as us because he said that he watches every single screening that he goes to, and he records the audience for certain cameos and stuff, and then sends them to friends of his to be like, "Look how this place reacted to your cameo." Mm. It's very nice.
It will, if you ever have the opportunity to go to a Kevin Smith live event, or if he takes one of his films on tour, go. I think even if you don't like Kevin Smith, he is so lovely.
Yeah.
When he talks after the movie, it's impossible not to like him.
My wife has said as much, because she went to the Yoga Hoser screening that he did at the Prince Charles. She did not care for the movie at all, but she really likes Kevin Smith Q&As because he... is just a great storyteller. Really, really good public speaker.
Oh, and he started talking about Stan Lee, who he was very close to. And you know, there's a very small bit in the film relating to him. So someone asked a question about it. And Kevin Smith just went on this, you know, 5 minute long tribute speech to Stan Lee.
Oof, it was.
And then started to cry. And we make fun of Kevin Smith crying because he does it all the time. But to see it in the flesh, you're like, "I want to cry with you."
Yeah, he was very good to be like, "Well, let's move on. Let's talk about something different."
Oh, well, anyway, WrestleTalkMerch.com.
Yeah, well, I think that's enough plugging for now. But if you head on over to Patreon.com/WrestleTalk, our review of Survivor Series 1997 is now currently live for our $5 and above backers. Listen to some of these reviews. Martin Putt, looking forward to it. Sean Dunn, can't wait. That guy who wants to board. "Oh my God, great timing, guys. Couple of hours to drive and nothing else to listen to." Because it's 3 hours, 40 minutes.
Are those reviews or are those people who have seen, they're reacting to it being available?
I'll get there.
Okay.
Marco Talon. "This is for all the pledgehammers who are disappointed with the shortening of the show reviews. Former star athlete, now head coach, Lendell Brenson, brought to you by Milton Bradley's Electronic Karate Fighters." And the actual only one review, really, is from Tom Carter. "Really enjoyable and insightful review."
Oh,
always look forward
much.
To these.
Well, before we get out of here, you probably noticed yesterday that there were no super chats in the whole show. let us know your thoughts. It's a 2-week trial.
Yes.
And the YouTube feedback in the initial day, on the initial day, was we want the super chats back in. But we're doing this 2 weeks without them just to see if, you know, what everyone's thoughts are, given some time to absorb the format.
A lot of people, I do want to really clarify, 2-week trial. Because a lot of people just skipped over that bit and just assumed that we've got rid of them forever.
Yeah.
2-week trial. It's for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I want to double down on that.
We're in a consultation phase. Please let us know your thoughts.
Indeed. But that is all we have got time for. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review. And then we'll have the usual AEW, NXT, SmackDown reviews. Actually, no, sorry. Tell a lie. We're back tomorrow. SmackDown review.
With Pete and Dave.
Pete and Dave will be doing the SmackDown review tomorrow. So check that out. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.